This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
And we're back with Inside Florida Racing. And we have another very special guest on the phone, Rob.
Dickie Anderson, you there, Dickie?
Yeah, buddy. I can just barely hear you, but go ahead.
Well, I'll try to speak up. We've got Don Nerone on the line here, along with myself and CeCe and Jack, and we're talking about the Governor's Cup. We just got done talking to your man, Jeff Choquette, there, and what an outstanding young man he's been in your car. And talk to us a little bit about the upcoming Governor's Cup and your expectations.
Well, I feel like I've got a car that's very capable of winning the race, and I've got a driver that's very capable of winning the race, so if the racing gods smile upon us and we don't have any misfortune, I can't promise you we're going to win it, but I feel like we'll still be in contention for the win.
Absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about preparation, Dick. You know, a lot of people listen to us talk about these cars all the time, and we always talk about the race. You know, talk to us a little bit about the preparation that you've got to go through with your car, and then having Jeff driving it. What's involved with that?
Well, if I tell you the truth, you won't believe me. But we won the last race in what I thought was convincing style. We had to go to the rear. We had a flat. Went to the rear, which was about 25th position, and passed every car on the track. Won the race in convincing style. And I assure you, we've got a minimum of 100 hours in that car since then. You know, and everybody goes, "How could you possibly? The car just flew and won the race. What could you possibly do?" But you know, the amount of time you put in a car is what separates the winners from the losers.
Yeah, we were talking to Jeff about what it was like to drive for you, because winning is 100% what you're after, and from all the years of racing that you've done, it's some big shoes for Jeff to fill, and he says sometimes it's tough.
Sometimes it's a what?
Sometimes it's a little tough.
Well, you know, Jeff, you know, if he's been under any pressure, he ain't showed it. when I was his age, I was under so much pressure and so nervous, and when he's at the races, he just blows my mind how calm he is, you know. But and really, it's a good thing, because then it actually makes me even a little calm, you know, when I see him that calm. But you know,
it's nice, Dick, when you're calm.
Well, I might have even exaggerated. I'm never calm, but
exactly.
But just to see a young driver that calm, I was never that way, I couldn't be that way, and he just shows a calmness that's very rare at that age, you know. But I would like to think it was because he's got confidence in his equipment, but but that would that probably wouldn't be true. But I just feel like we've got a wonderful shot at the Governor's Cup. Whether we win it or not, who knows? There's a million things can happen, but I feel like we're one of three or four cars that's got a good chance.
Well, Dick, how long has he been driving for you?
Say that again.
How long has Jeff been driving for you?
Gosh, just this year, I think.
And
we've only ran the car, I think, six times, and yeah, he's won four or five of those six times. And the only times he hasn't won is when the car's had a mechanical problem. But, it's been really a good pairing, putting me and him together.
Well, what was it about him that that made you want him to be the driver of your car?
Well, I'll be honest. Ever since he started, he's been able to go fast. But he was just like I was when I was young. You know, he was just running over too much stuff and all. And about a year ago, I watched him run a race at Bradenton where he ran side by side with Jeff Schofield for over 100 laps and never touched Jeff. He ended up running second. He didn't win it, but he just showed such maturity. So it kind of caught my eye, and then after that, I started keeping a closer eye on him, and he just showed such maturity at that age. Going fast was never a problem for him. But naturally, he was only about 18 at the time. He lacked the maturity, and when I seen him, it's like he almost matured overnight. And right now, I'm telling you what, I guarantee if you check the statistics, he finishes more races than anybody racing right now. So naturally, I wanted my son to drive my car, but that's kind of an impossibility with his commitments and my commitments and everything. And to be honest, other than my son, I think Jeff's the best driver in the state.
Speaking of your son, he did good racing on Saturday night out there with us.
But to be honest, he was off Saturday night. He's usually not off that much. But, I mean, he still ran third, which is a good finish, but that's about as far off as you'll ever see him, and he still hung in there. Anybody else would have ran 10th in that thing because it definitely wasn't handling for him. There was a problem somewhere there, and that was a 10th-place car, and he still ran third with it. So he did a great job, but even though he wasn't in contention for the win.
Yeah, because we've seen Wayne jump up on the outside down at Charlotte and run the outside when everybody was saying you can't run outside there, and we've seen him do it.
Yeah, and you know, I was really looking forward. I hadn't been down there in the last few years, and I heard how good he's running down there, and I was actually looking forward to him putting on a good show, and it didn't materialize, you know, but like I say, he still did a good job running third, but man, I was looking for him to be able to give him a race, you know.
I tried to put on a good show for you too, Dick, since you hadn't seen me race in a long time. It just didn't work out.
You're always a show, man. What the heck? Whether you're in the back or the front, you're a show.
Well, I think it was a good race, and all the fans really appreciated the effort that all the drivers put into it Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. I was really happy. I hadn't been there in, I don't know, 5 or 6, 8, 10 years. I don't know. I hadn't been there in a long time, and it was nice. It looked like somebody's putting some effort in the racetrack. The track was much nicer than what I remembered. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, the racing, I don't know how anybody could ask for any better racing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time, and the weather was just perfect racing weather right now. How about it?
Yeah, I mean, right down to the last lap, you weren't sure who was going to win it.
That's right. You got that right.
Yeah.
All the way to the last lap. That was a definite race to the end. Okay, well, we're going to talk to Wayne in a few minutes about the upcoming Governor's Cup. Go ahead, Jack.
I was going to ask, you know, Dick, you have won two of these races, and you know, and you've seen and been in many, many Governor's Cup races.
Uh-huh.
Tell the fans, what is it about that race that makes it special?
That's our Daytona 500, you know. That's the best way I can explain to it. You know, the way all the Winston Cup drivers, Nextel Cup drivers, whatever you want to call them, that Daytona 500, I don't care how many of the Nextel Cup races they win, none of them are like winning the Daytona 500. And the Governor's Cup is our Daytona 500, you know. And it's just, there's not, we've only got two races, as far as I'm concerned, that have any history and that really mean something to a lot of people, and that's the Governor's Cup and the Snowball Derby. So I think Wayne's won every major race except the Governor's Cup, and I'd love to see him win it. Naturally, I'd like to see my car win first, but if I can't win it, I'd love to see Wayne at least get that under his belt, because I think that's the only major race he hasn't won.
Yeah, what?
Hey, Dick. Hey Dick.
Yes, sir.
I remember when he won Nashville. That was the other race that used to be the race to win. It was to win the All-American 400, and I was there with you when Wayne won the All-American 400, and I think you were happier than he was.
That was a great experience right there. And All-American 400 used to be the granddaddy of all the races, and it's lost its luster now, you know. They're trying to bring it back, and I really hope it happens. But right now, the Governor's Cup and Snowball Derby, I mean, that's what's happening in the South.
How many times did you almost win the Governor's Cup? Try that one.
Well, you know, I should have probably won it 10 times, but I'm tickled to death to have won it twice, you know. I started trying to win it in 1972. And I think it was 1990 or something when I finally won it. So that's a lot of trying, you know. And when I finally won it, you know, it's like most things. When you finally do it, it's not that hard afterwards. But, man, with the quality of drivers, I mean, it was like a who's who in racing, you know.
So everybody that comes to the race comes to win it. And that's the kind of race you like to be at.
Exactly. And, you know, if you won that one, everybody knew your name after you won that one.
That's the joke I was talking about earlier with Chiquette when he won the race. I didn't know what his name was.
Yeah.
I had never met him, didn't know who he was.
And you know what? And to be honest, it's sad to say, but he probably doesn't appreciate winning the race as much as he should, you know, because he wasn't there back in the 70s when Ed Howe and Dick Trickle and Bob Seneca and everybody that was anybody in racing was trying to win that thing, you know. That just shows how good Jeff was. I mean, he come along and won it right off the bat, the first couple years in his career, you know. But I'm sure he couldn't appreciate the history that went along with it.
Well, since he got in your car, he just looks like a complete different driver.
Well, you know,
just a whole different thing. And he doesn't look like Dick in the car, any way, shape, or form.
He drives the car completely different than the way I did, but with the same results. And to be honest, I wish I could have drove more like him when I was his age, you know. If I could have had his demeanor and his patience and all, I won a lot of races, but I would have won a whole lot more. So he's way ahead of his years, you know.
Well, I'm going to turn this show loose. I got something I got to go do. But
all right, Don, appreciate you hanging out with us, man, and we'll see you Saturday.
Whoever wins is going to make me happy. I'm just going to be happy that I get to go there again, and as long as Don Rohn's alive, he'll be at the Governor's Cup. I promise you that.
Well, Don, thanks for carrying the race on.
Well, all right, buddy.
Nice talking with you.
Dick.
All right, good night, Don. Look forward to seeing you, buddy.
Hey, Dick, change topic just for a minute here now that we got you. What do you think about the Ocala deal going to dirt? We're going to talk to Mike Peters here in a little bit around 9 o'clock and get some questions answered. What do you think about that whole deal? What's your...
Well, actually, I'm sad about it because, you know, I've really enjoyed the last 10 years of Ocala, and Wayne's got Ocala hammered like I had Palm Beach back in the 70s and 80s, but... you know, it's almost like a benefit for him every time they hold up Powell Memorial. So I know Wayne's going to hate to see it go. But the main reason I hate to see it go is not because of mine and Wayne's involvement, but because we've got more and more asphalt tracks dropping by the wayside, and I don't see new ones being built. You know, very few new ones are being built. So for every one new one that's built, there's four or five that closes, so or goes to dirt or something. So I hate to see it in that aspect. And it was one of the few tracks left where the driver is 70 to 80% of the equation. Most of your tracks nowadays, the driver is only about 30 or 40%. And with Ocala, it was just the opposite. The driver was 70 or 80%. And there's so few of those tracks left.
That's interesting.
The short tracks are definitely falling by the wayside. And, you know, you don't really realize it until, you know, if another one closes up, say something happened to DeSoto, something happened in Charlotte County, you know, another one of them closed up, then where are you going to race? You know, something happened to Citrus. What's going to happen?
And what is this? In what is the solution to this problem so we don't face that here, you know, in Florida, so we can still continue as race fans?
It's an economic disaster that's bound to happen on its own. What do you think, Dick?
Well, you know, like I hate to say it, but I've been around forever, and I'm getting a different view on things than I had when I was wide open racing. But if all the racers would just understand that these racetracks, in order for us to keep them, they need your support. They need you when you the weeks that you're not racing. They need you to go watch the races. And I just see so many of the racers giving the racetracks a hard time instead of giving them the support that the racetracks need. And you just got to understand, without our support, we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. We go and try to fight against the racetrack, and in essence, you're fighting against yourself, because once that racetrack's gone, you've only hurt yourself.
Yep.
So I've got a lot of racetracks where I'm not nuts about the promoter, and I'm not nuts about who owns it, but I would still like to support it. And it's just, you just get so, I just see the support dwindling away.
You know, I think amen to that. You know, anybody that's been following Karnak since I started, I mean, I spent the first 3 or 4 years in a constant fight with promoters and whatnot, and I realized after a point, and now I totally agree with what you just said. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff I disagree with about things, but you know what? It's not important.
For our racing to survive, what all of these racers don't understand is we all need to be part-time promoters.
Yeah.
We all need to promote our sport and promote our racetrack. And every other racer I talk to is trying to run his racetrack into the ground and bitching and complaining about everything and bitching and complaining about to everybody that'll listen to him. Well, you know, to me, this has got a negative effect that's going to come back and hurt you when all at once you don't even have that racetrack there to race at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if all the racers would go out and try to promote their racetrack and their sport a little bit more, I'm telling you what, you'd see a whole lot more racetracks that are open and staying open. And it's like I say, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
But Ms. Brooks, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
You're absolutely right. And that's why self-promotion is the best thing to do when it comes to talking about the track, even if you're mad. I get aggravated sometimes at calls that are made against me and stuff, but I always come back and say, It's not the track.
Well, you know,
support the track.
Absolutely. And, Dick, I'll tell you, that little thing that you just said, that's probably going to be replayed on our shows hundreds of times because.
Well, if everybody involved with the racing would just become a part-time promoter, you'd see our sport get back on its feet.
Because coming from you, that means something. You know, like I could say that or Rob could say that, but coming from you, I think it has a little more clout. And I appreciate you actually saying that.
I've been on both sides of the fence. I've had a racetrack. I've promoted, you know, I've been on the promotion side and I've been on the racing side. And I tell you what, I used to be one of them always complaining and everything, too. Once I had a racetrack, after that, when I went back racing, I was the promoter's best friend. You know, it's kind of like instead of pulling in the racetrack and arguing, I pulled in the racetrack and wanted to know what I could do to help.
Right. Well, that comes with being a veteran, man. You've seen both sides of it. You've won many races, you know, and you've accomplished a lot of things. And, you know, like Jack says, many people will listen to this show that we've done tonight. And, you know, that's why we do these things, so people can understand, you know, great racers like yourself or just, you know, regular people. And you supported many racetracks over the years, haven't you?
I've supported some and I've hurt some. I've hurt some by actually without trying to pat myself on the back. There were some racetracks I really hurt when I was winning every week, and I didn't realize how bad that was really hurting the racetrack, you know. But nowadays the competition has gotten so tough that doesn't happen like it did 20 years ago, you know. Nowadays the competition is so tough. That's one problem they really don't have.
You're right. You're right about that. You don't see the same guy winning all the time anymore.
Well,
I used to think that in all forms of racing, the Nextel Cup too, but Jimmy Johnson's just proved us all wrong, you know?
Yeah, they've hit on something, haven't they?
Yeah.
Looks like his championship is getting closer.
Now, Dick, I thought you didn't pay no attention to them wrestling guys.
What's that?
I said, I thought you didn't pay no attention to them wrestling guys.
Oh, well.
Hey, it's the show. You got to watch it every now and then. It's about to come to an end. We're going to have to be watching what? College football, what's coming for us.
That's what I was preaching, the promotional part. We all need to start banding together and promoting our tracks or we're not going to have any.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that I think is that, you know, it's so hot during the summertime. Why do the local tracks take their break during the best part of the year?
I forget where I was that they did that. I would love to see tracks take down here. I would love to see them take July and August off, you know, just a two-month break.
Yeah,
and then if they want to, you know, pick back up in January a little quicker than what they do. You know, I think we start back basically in February.
Right.
You know? Take July and August off, and then pick back up, you know, the second or third week in January.
Yeah,
well, that makes sense because especially in Florida, that's normally two of our heaviest months for rain.
Right.
And when you get, when everybody gets ready to go racing, and then you have a rain out. You know, that gets frustrating. It turns a lot of people off.
When you have your track owner hat on, though, you think a little bit different about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, not only that, by the time you get to July or August, you almost need a week or two break to kind of get your equipment and yourself caught back up a little bit, you know? You know, I just, anymore, we're only off for like a, you know, people that really want to race. You can race darn near all year round anymore, you know? But it wouldn't hurt me to see them take July or the month of July or the month of August off.
That's for sure. It's just too hot and it rains. It just messes everything up, you know. When nothing sucks worse than going to a rain out when you've been there all day and it rains out.
Exactly.
You've been racing for 6 months. You need a week or two break to get caught back up.
Well, Dick, listen, another great interview you've done with us. I really appreciate your time. Good luck at the Governor's Cup. I hope that, you know, that Jeff can pull it out for you. If not, then I hope Wayne comes in there for you to bring the family name there.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dick, and we'll see you this week, and we're going to talk to Wayne here in a few minutes and see what he's got to say.
I love talking with you guys.
See you later.
We love talking to you. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.